If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Oli Pop Rock Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rock de Pop Rock Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hey, det här är Hickson Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rock Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. Sure, I'm glad you did, as are our advertisers. Remember to support them. They support us. That's how I feed weird dog food to my weird dog. It's crazy. For those who don't know, I have a Shar Pei dog, and the only reason I do is my parents had those growing up once my dad made some money. And I thought I was doing okay at the time, and I thought I wanted to be a big shot and get this fancy dog. Could have got a mutt at the pound. Happy with that. I got this fancy dog to be a big shot that has to have special diets, I gave the dog a bath today. The shampoo's $25 for a bottle of shampoo because it's got to be the special, she has sensitive skin. Basically, my dog I don't have any children except her. And I feel like the big heavy dad from Willy Wonka with the girl with the nuts of Veruca Salt. That's mine and my dog's relationship, pretty much. She tells me what we're going to do, and that's what we do. It's like we're married. Anyhow, I am super excited tonight. We've got a fantastic guest on from a great band called Argyro, and here's Scott. He's a singer with the band and a songwriter, I believe, primary songwriter. I could be wrong on that. Yeah, welcome to the show, Scott. How are you doing, man?
Thank you so much, Jamie. Thanks for having me on the show again.
Absolutely. I'm
delighted to be here. And yeah, I really appreciated the invitation.
Now you're in, where was it?
I'm in Castle Pines, Colorado.
Castle Pines. And that's just south of Denver, right?
A little south of Denver, yeah.
Up from north of NORAD area.
Yeah,
okay. Folks are going, what the heck's NORAD? Number one, that's where it's a very expensive Santa tracking system the Air Force has.
Yeah.
Well, they used to run everything out of it back in the day. Mm-hmm. But if you've ever watched the show back in the 90s, Stargate, that was their base of operations.
That was it. Yeah.
Big mountain. Right.
There's a lot of military in the area. And yeah, we hear the helicopters at night and the jets, and it's a little intimidating, but hopefully they're protecting them.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing.
And
these days with the, you know what, I'm not making any predictions. And I, don't worry, folks, we're still an entertainment show. I'm not wading into areas I don't need to wade into. All I'm saying, basically all of this that's happening in the world, I think it's my fault. Because, I don't know, about 10 or 11 years ago, I was at a party. And I remember having this conversation. I told someone, I'm like, yeah, you get to be my age, you've seen it all. I just really wish something new I hadn't seen before would happen. And the universe said, okay, Jamie, here you go. Worldwide pandemic, insanity, cats and dogs are living together. It's here you go.
Crazy times, yep. We got to stay positive.
I'm telling you. And really, it makes you look back. Like when I think when I was in college and stuff, I thought the world was crazy. No, not at all.
Wasn't even close, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You look at things in the news even. You see like news stories that are back in the 90s and stuff like. Yeah, you had, what's his name? The serial killer, Ted.
Bundy.
Ted Bundy.
Yeah.
And that was terrible. I'm not making jokes about or light of any of that. Today, Hannibal Lecter seems tame. It's geez Louise, what? I can only handle so much news.
That's crazy, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah.
And just crazy. But every so often, there's a story that's just fantastic. And I'm like, my faith in you, man. The other day, as we were talking before the show, my wife's had these terrible back problems that just came out of nowhere. So I had to go to the hospital. She's in the hospital a week, had to get surgery, all that. She's on the mend now. She's home.
Good.
But my first day, or the day before her big surgery, went to visit her, like you do. And I'm such a dope. Somehow, I had so much stuff in my pocket. I took my wallet out and set it on her little hospital table thing there. Didn't think nothing of it. Had the conversation. Everything was great. Okay, dear, I'll be here tomorrow when they roll you out of surgery, because they were taking her in pretty early. And I'll be here. Not to worry. And did my good husband. I was feeling good. So I got home. I started emptying out my pockets, as you do when you get home, and no wallet.
Oh, geez.
I had ridden over there with my in-laws, and so I called them immediately. I said, can you check the car, please? And I know, because with the alarm that's going off, yeah, it's a pain to get a new ID, and I have to get new tribal, all this stuff. That's a pain. But more importantly, they won't let you up into the hospital. They won't give you the pass if you don't have your ID.
Sure.
And I did not want to have this conversation with my wife going, I was there in spirit, dear. I tried, but I lost my... That would not work.
Right.
So it wasn't in the car. Looked all over the driveway. Maybe it fell out. In my heart of hearts, I'm like, in the elevator at the hospital. It's somewhere in a hallway, kicked under a microscope or something. No telling. So I'm feeling pretty down in the dumps. I'm not a religious person, but I'm wise enough to know I don't know everything. I could be wrong on a few things. Maybe we better start talking to somebody, hoping we get somebody on our side. What could it hurt? And I was under my breath a little bit. And I called, and my stepmother said, settle down, Jamie, settle down. You're going to have a heart attack. Settle down. Call the hospital, the security. They usually have a lost and found. And I'm like, yeah, I have that kind of luck. Like, that's going to happen. Didn't have any money in it. That was the thing. I didn't have any money in it. But the ID, that was the main thing. So I call them up and they're like, can you describe it? I'm like, it's a trifold thing off my merch site. I don't know what's on. Does it look like a cartoon? Yeah, it's one of my paintings. I'm sure it's probably, that's what it looks like. And she goes, what's your name? So I tell her, yes, it's here. We have it in the lost and somebody turned it in.
Oh, great.
And I said, great. I got to come see my wife when she gets out of surgery tomorrow. She goes, yeah, swing by the security desk. You got to fill a form out. We'll scan the ID. You can go visit her. I'm like, you saved the day, ma'am. You have saved the day.
Right.
And it all worked out. But yeah, that was one of those moments where my faith in humanity just was renewed a little bit. And maybe a conversation helped. I'm not saying it didn't. I'm not saying it did. I'm just saying everything worked out in the end. And I was pretty happy about that.
Those are good moments. Yeah.
Yeah. Where you're like, I didn't have to have that conversation. Anyhow. One of the things I like about your music and you and the band and everything is it's not really genre heavy. It's not easy to describe from a genre point of view. I hear elements of rock in it, of course.
Yep.
You got a little bit of Americana thrown in there, I would say.
Sure.
But every damn song is so relatable. You know what I mean? Yeah. Every song you do, Scotty, I don't know. I know that you have, as an artist, when you're putting together a track or a single or whatever you want to call it, you're drawing from your idea, your experience that you're talking about.
Sure.
And we all get that. But the cool thing I think about good art is people can listen to it and be reminded of their own. And that's, if 30,000 people, that's 30,000 different songs, really.
Yeah.
You've made that happen. That's amazing.
That's, you know, good. I appreciate that. You're the visual artist. I'm the audio artist.
Visuals are good. I love your videos.
Cool.
I don't know who the little gal was. She was the one I've been playing a lot. She was at the carnival and on one of those crazy rides was in the background. And
absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Good fun times.
I have a great director here in Colorado. I've been in Colorado about 9 years, and I met a guy named Elgin Cahill, who's a video director, does all of my music videos. And he just really gets it. He'll play him the song, and he really understands. I help explain it, but he really embraces my vision and comes up with visuals that really match what I'm going for. And then he's the guy that slowly dragged me into some acting roles and so forth. So it's been a great relationship in that respect.
That's something else we have to mention. Not only, ladies, I believe, and I could be wrong on this, I think Scott's married, or at least
I'm a married man.
Is at the Saturday Night Dance, but you can still, he's still fun to hang out with.
Yeah, I'm fun to hang out with.
Yeah. But in addition to being a rock star, why, he's an actor too, a thespian, if you will.
Imagine that. What a shock. The next thing is game show host.
No, you're not that cheesy. You're not that cheesy. Howie Mandel had to shave his head for all that. No, I think he had to do with his germophobia or something. But anyhow, maybe not. I don't know. I get a kick, all these 80s bands I listened to when I was a kid with the crazy hair and everything. I still have mine. They all do not. You go see them in concert, they all look like Howie Mandel.
That's got to be tragic to be an 80s guy, have that heat, the long hair, yeah. And then you're still doing it and you have nothing. That would be
nothing. I just watched a video with Thomas Dolby that She Blinded Me with Science guy was talking about this. But he was real honest and he owned it. And he said, I have been bald and I've hated it for the last 20 years.
Yeah,
I didn't have much to begin with and it went quickly. So when you see me on, he was going doing a tour. He goes, when you see me on this tour, I'm going to have hair. He goes, I consider it my hair because it's the amount of money I paid to have this done.
To call it my hair. Yeah.
Yeah. And hey, it looks great. But the important thing is he's happy about it. But
there
was no, he wasn't trying to do it on the sly or anything. I'm like, hey, good for him. Whatever makes you happy, man. If that's what it.
Right on.
You're not hurting anybody by doing it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Knock yourself out. But no, yeah, that's the case. That's the case. You, I imagine you looked great in high, you were one of those popular, good-looking kids in high school and college and went on to be a musician and an actor and all this and that. Was.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I don't know. I've tried to keep it together, trying to keep it going.
Well, that's good, though. That's good. Do you do the workout thing? You kind of have to because you're on stage. You're in front of the camera.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do. Prior to COVID, I was a gym guy. I would go to the gym and I was never like a weightlifter, but I would use machines. Back when I lived in Pittsburgh, I was a boxer. So I joined a boxing gym with my son and we boxed quite a bit. After COVID, I got into just hiking. So I'm here in Colorado in this beautiful weather, and I take a couple dumbbells out on the trails and I do about an hour workout a day. And I don't think I'll ever go back to a gym. I'm getting results enough to maintain. And
you don't have to pay for it. And you're getting fresh air and you're outside. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Colorado. So occasionally I get followed by a bobcat or something, but those are all the risks of living in the beautiful state of Colorado.
Makes it just more exciting. That's
all.
That's
rattlesnakes, the whole deal. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. No, it's, I get it. It's important. See, I got it easy. I look like a toad. They don't care. The work's got to be, looks good. That's all they care about.
Jamie, I think you have the coolest headband and hair in the entertainment business.
The headband is because people are like, oh, you got an easy haircut. You just mess it up and you're good to go. I'm like, yeah, but there's a lot of thought to how I mess it up. It takes a long time.
There you go.
And so I didn't want to do a video show. My wife and all our friends talked me into it. They're like, Joe Rogan does a video show. Why don't, yeah. I'm like, I'm not Joe Rogan. I don't have those kind of friends. I don't smoke. I vape, but not anything bad. Menthol.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it. What a pain. I would really like doing the audio show. You didn't even have to shave, man. You would. Mm-hmm. So many audio shows where I looked horrible. But so I told my, if I can start doing, I don't know, we saw she was watching something, some 80s hair metal, where are they now type deal. And this guy had one of these things on. And I said, I'm stealing that idea. And
it's your brand. It looks good, man. Yeah. Rocking it. Yeah.
And now it's funny because at home, if we're going to the grocery store, I'm not looking like.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
I got this old fedora I wear everywhere. Everybody's, look, it's the guy from Blues Traveler. You know what I mean? That's. But I couldn't be looking like the guy from Blues Traveler on the show. Anyhow. But you've got a good look, too. You've got a good image. And people that I think that aren't in the creative industry, they don't realize. Thought goes into a lot of this stuff. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You're wearing in that video we were talking about at the fair. It was a hell of a cool blue jacket you got going on in there.
Yeah, I've got a kind of an electric blue suit that I've worn for many years performing. And it just, for a while there, it became my signature. And I've gravitated away from it a little bit, but it's fun. It's like a Rod Stewart suit, yeah.
Yeah, or Manuel out of Nashville, you always see with all that stuff on it. And
right. That's
a crazy cat. We had him on this show. It's a crazy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and people, he's an old Mexican man. He's been in the business forever, and people don't realize. I'm like, this is the most famous guy you've never heard of.
Yeah.
He was behind a lot of Elvis's look. Johnny Cash started dressing all in black because he told him it was a good idea.
Oh my God.
Yeah, just and knew, did a bunch of the John Lennon stuff. It was just knew everybody.
Yeah.
And he's still doing it. That's the thing. The guy's 90 something years old.
In his blood, yeah.
Yeah, he has to do it. And that's how you are going to be, I imagine, though. I can picture you at 90, still doing it, still knocking it out. I'm going to be doing it because I have to. I got a wife that likes handbags and shoes. I got to keep doing this. It never stops.
Yeah.
I feel like that Sisyphus guy with the rock. Every day. Get it up the hill. But it's just part of it. But no, you're probably the same way. It's like we have to be doing this stuff. You know what I mean? It's hard.
Yeah.
We go on vacation.
Yeah.
It takes me about a day. And my wife's like, because I get up early, super early anyway, and I'm old. And she's, what are you doing? You're sketching stuff? You're up at 5 o'clock sketching? I'm like, baby, I will go on the log ride with you here in a couple hours. No problem.
Yeah.
We're going to get you some Dole Whip. It'll be great. But I got to get these ideas down now because the vacation's going to end in a few days or a week or whatever. And then it's back to it for real.
Yeah, it's in your blood. It's a passion. It's just like me with, I go out hiking, like I said, for my workouts, and that's where it seems to be where melodies come to be. So I'll be hiking and I'll stop and have my iPhone and I sing a melody into my phone. I'm not saying they're all good. I have thousands of melodies and sometimes you get back home and listen to it again and think, what was I thinking to even stop to record that? And other times you have a great idea that develops into a song. Yeah, it's just the passion and the being open to that art and having a love for it.
You have to. And use that rocket fuel, because that's, I was reading an article, or I don't know, I was watching something, or I got this information from somewhere, but they were interviewing Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones. And apparently he came up with that guitar, that intro to Paint It Black.
Oh, yeah.
They were in Miami, of all places. He was drunk out of his mind and who knows what.
Imagine
it was the
that.
Middle of the night.
Kind of shocked.
Yeah, and especially back in the day. And he came up with it. He got it. Yeah. That's gold.
Yeah.
That was great. He passed out, woke up the next morning, couldn't get it again. He didn't have a phone to sing that into. He didn't write it down. He spent like the next 12 hours trying to refine that out of his wavy mind, and was lucky enough. I'm not saying this it was divine or anything. I'm just saying maybe somebody gave him a break and said, okay, 12 hours.
Before the magic of technology, how many unbelievable ideas were lost in the from the car ride to running into the house and trying to pick up a guitar, jump on a piano? That's tough. You've got to capture this stuff when you receive it.
And you're right. Like in your business, when I was a kid, I hung out with nothing but musicians. I never hung out with, I was the only one who was ever drawing anything. A couple kids, but not really. They weren't looking at it serious like I was. But the only people that were looking at what they're exploring their passion that I had access to were a ton of musicians I knew. And yeah, sure, at the time, no, this wasn't Juilliard or anything, folks. Everybody just wanted to be Eddie Van Halen or Randy Rhoads. So that's, and meet a lot of girls. That was the primal driving force.
Part of it, yeah.
But I learned so much from them, because you'd hang out with them, and they were always on the search for gear. I knew a kid that saved up, would spend a whole paycheck on a pedal. I got paid. I have $5 to last me 2 weeks now, but I got this pedal, and that was important. And that's how it went. My father was a Vietnam War veteran, a Marine. And one of the things he told us this many times, that he carried out of Vietnam on his back was this big 4-track reel-to-reel with the tape thing on it. And he had it set up by his component. This was the 80s. He had the component stereo system with that next to it and a place of honor. And he would play the hits of Gordon Lightfoot or whatever dad music he was into that week, ABBA or something. And none of it impressed me much. I was a teenager. I actually come to some of that stuff now that I'm older. But all of my musician friends, when they would come over to visit, they would all look at that reel-to-reel like it was a blonde with her legs crossed sitting there smoking a long cigarette or something. Like she was movie star. They wanted that 4-track bad. Right.
Yep, sought after stuff, yeah.
My father, even when they would go on, like him and my mom would go on a trip or something like that, he would take the reel-to-reel out of the living room and put it, lock it up somewhere. You know what I mean? I don't know where he put it, but it was suddenly gone while they were gone. I don't think they took it with them, but maybe they did. I don't know. But he didn't trust my friends, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Or me, apparently.
Well, protective. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Because of technology. Because of what it could do.
Oh, yeah.
Today, it's interesting. Studio's time is still expensive. You tell these young bands, they're like, we're just going to go to the studio and hang out till an idea comes. I'm like, that's an expensive way to do that.
Yeah, that's right.
You ain't the Doors
halfway
through your career. Settle down there, rock star. But they charge by the second, but it ain't cheap.
Yeah.
You need to have all your everything you possibly can have set up before you go in there.
That's what I do. I have a Pro Tools studio here in my home. I track everything, play most of the instruments, but track it all very dry. Just get the idea down, bring a guitar player in, who on this record, it's Damon Wood, who was the former guitar player of James Brown. And we can talk about that, but really great.
James Brown ain't messing around. Oh, that guy maybe completely. No, he's going to know his chops.
James
Brown was writing the check for something. You know what I mean? It was
funny story. I was out to dinner with some people and I was complaining to a guy at dinner saying, I'm in the midst of this record. I'm working with a couple guitar players in Memphis and LA and just a lot of flaky people that, you know, you're not getting a great commitment and so forth. And this guy's a CEO of a bourbon company, of all things. And he was like, what about Damon Wood? Damon Wood lives here in Denver. And I was like, who is Damon Wood? And he was like, he's the former guitar player of James Brown. And he'd love to play on your stuff. And I kind of laughed and took a sip of my wine. And pretty soon he sent in a text and he was like, hey, Damon Wood's in. He's going to play on your record.
There you go.
So it was
why that man of bourbon.
Crazy meant to be things. And all of a sudden, Damon Wood comes over to my house and we start tracking this stuff. And he was just phenomenal, just a phenomenal player.
It's amazing. And it doesn't have to be in your specific genre. I was reading in a book. It was a book about David Bowie, of all people. And he had wanted a hit. He had a few hits in Europe and this and that. And this was like 1980, early 80s. And he had not had a big American hit and he wanted one. People he knew had them. So it was kind of like, I got to do something.
I'm
an artistic genius. I'm David Bowie, for Christ's sake. So apparently he got wind of this crazy guitar player in Texas, of all places. And it was Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, geez.
Met him, blown away by his talent and stuff.
Not a bad contact, yeah.
Yeah. And they were needing a guitar part on Let's Dance, his big hits. And he said, Let's Dance would not have happened without Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, how cool. Yeah.
He goes, he didn't go on tour with it. He just came in, did the work.
Yep.
And then he was doing his own thing. He had other stuff to do, but.
Yeah.
So you just don't know. And musicians, I think the younger fans now are not as genre focused as like people my age when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was bad. If my rock friends would have found out I was going to sneak home and listen to some Adam Ann or something, could have been fisticuffs involved. It was.
Yep.
It's how it was. Today, I listened to like my wife's Spotify playlist and she's going from just Sleep Token to Bruno Mars. I'm like, I'm getting whiplash listening to your playlist. How are you? You don't have to like it. I made it for me. And I'm like, okay.
That's how I am. Good music is good music. And I'll roll from old Yes and Rush to an ABBA tune to just all over the place. Beatles, Stones. What is good?
Our gyro. Now I got to add to that list because you guys are good. You know what I mean?
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And it just works. It just works. I love. I'm not a musician. I'm no expert on it. So to me, I don't know the different tones in a guitar or anything like that. I just know if it's a toe tapper, it's a toe tapper. It's good. If it reminds me of some little gal I hadn't thought about in 30 years or something, even better. Or it takes me to a place. Not saying it sounds dated. It doesn't. But it makes the gears turn in my head. And I think that's good art.
Good. Thank you. Now I just write from experience and what I feel. And I'm really a drummer that plays other instruments by ear. So I started as a drummer, was a jazz drummer, a rock drummer.
Drumming's hard.
Yeah. I've been influenced by so many different types of bands, percussion oriented when I was younger. And I think drummers... if a drummer has a sense of melody and can write or write lyrics or so forth, a drummer can be a pretty respectable songwriter. The Phil Collins, the Glenn Frys, Dave Grohl, obviously is a drummer that became a frontman. I gravitated it through that. But yeah, that experience as a drummer kind of
Yeah. You mentioned Phil Collins. I am like, people are always like, oh, Jamie just likes these cool synth pop British band. My favorite band of all time is Genesis. And you want to talk about weird art stuff. And I'm not talking with Peter Gabriel. the album just titled Genesis with the weird shapes on it.
Yeah.
Give that a listen sometime, folks. That is a weird record with way out concepts in it. But that's the cool thing about music is you get sucked in, and usually it's by the hit, and that's great. And then you start discovering other stuff they're doing, and you're like, holy moly, this is amazing. And you're really just opening their head and looking under the hood a little bit. You know what I mean? And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's whoa.
Too much information, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm to a point in my life where I like all kinds of stuff. I was listening to some Ronnie Millsap the other day. Everybody that was over here was like, how are you listening? Who is this? Somebody new on your going to be on the show? I said, no, man, this is like 45 years old or whatever. But have you ever heard more heartbreak in a track than this track?
Right.
I didn't even think about that. I said, no, because you're not listening to it. You're hearing it, but you're not listening to it.
Some of that old music on tape, and it's so organic, and there's imperfections, and the vocals aren't perfect, but they're emotional. And I work with a guy, Jesse O'Brien, who does all of my mixing here in Colorado. And as a singer, when I'm mixing a record, you get into these little things where, hey, Jesse, put some reverb on my voice or double it or in this section, what have you. And it's great because he'll push back and say, Scott, you sound so natural and organic there that I don't want to
play. You're going to wind up sounding like Kraftwerk or something.
The emotion is there. If I put anything more on it, you're going to lose that emotion. So he pushes back quite a bit. We get in some arguments here and there, but he usually wins because he's the expert on audio. So
I'm telling you, during the pandemic, I ran out of things to watch. They weren't making the blacklist anymore. Everything was shut down. So I'm watching all these weird YouTube documentaries and stuff. And I watched one on the Police and them recording their last album. And they're having fist fights in the studio over hi-hats and stuff. It's insane. Because that's when Sting threw the chair at me. I'm like, throwing chairs at people? What? Yeah. You guys have made millions of dollars.
Yeah.
You're going to make more millions.
Right. Right.
Hold it together. Just get the project done.
But man, when you get in that zone and you're trying to capture a sound that you're going for, or a vocal or whatever, you can drive yourself crazy. It's very it's an exercise of, it's almost a little OCD. So until you you're striving for perfection that you're never going to achieve, but you're trying to get as close to that perfection as you can. And you can drive yourself mad doing it.
I'm telling you, that's, in my process, I'll paint a painting, and the final boss, as the kids say, is my wife. I call her in to the studio here, and I'm like, okay, is it ready to go?
Yeah.
And this is before my last thing I do on a painting is seal it, because it's hard to paint over the sealer with it. You can definitely tell it's been painted over. So she comes in, and this is why I'm married to her. That right eye's off a little bit. You might want to fix that. Or a lot of times, it looks great. I can see this in somebody's house. And okay. And then we go on to the next process. Or we fix what needs to be fixed. But otherwise, I would do exactly what you're saying. I would, no, we got to change this. That needs to be just a slightly darker shade of blue. Then you do it. And then you're like, I liked it the way it was before. And suddenly that part of the painting is 16 layers thick compared to the 5 layers of the rest of the painting.
Sure.
And you get weird shadow effects and stuff. And, you know, it happens. So you have to be, that's a good value. Write this down, kids out there watching the show or whatever, or listening to the podcast. You got to get to a point where you can walk away, where the project's done.
Because
it'll never be done to you, perhaps. If it's to the point that you started, if it's achieved what you started to do, then you got to be able to walk away from it.
Yeah. Easier said than done, but
I've had people pay me $1,000 for a painting. It's hanging in their wall. It's been on their wall for 10 years. And in my mind, it's still messing with me. You know what I mean? I need to read. That looks terrible. What was I thinking? Oh, I didn't have the skills I have today. need to redo that. And I've had this conversation with my, I'm like, you know what, that one painting, this painting here, I said, this sold 15 years ago. I want to redo it, not even charge the people for the redo and just send it to them so they have the a better one. She's, no, you can't do that. They love that. They paid you a bunch of money for that. Now,
yeah,
think about the next project.
That's so interesting, because even with this most recent record, it's done, it's pressed, it's mastered. And right as I started to listen to it, I started hearing other ideas of, oh man, I could have a certain background vocal, a really cool melody I'm thinking of. And I'm thinking, why didn't I think of that 6 months ago? So it's never, you could drive yourself crazy just continuing down these roads. Yeah. But
absolutely.
Yeah, pull the plug at some point and move on.
That's your acting training comes in. When they say, cut,
yeah,
that's a wrap.
Yeah.
You're out of that deal then.
Absolutely.
The director may have those thoughts, or the editor or whatever, probably will.
Sure. But you do different versions and you don't know what they're going to pull and what they're going to use and what they're going to cut. And acting is a different thing. I have to relinquish control, just let somebody else make it good or make it crap. But
we have a friend of ours who, she finally got serious. I shouldn't say that. But she did. I don't know how else to describe it. She got real serious. She's a writer and she got an agent. The whole bit got published. Not self-published, folks, but it did that whole process. And which is very similar to the music. You got to be careful, because you can get deals, publishing deals, which are really loans, have to be paid back, and it's, you better keep track of everything. And
sure,
it's, but anyway, before any of this happened in her life, we were out to dinner. We went to, where did we go? We went, Cracker Barrel or somewhere. I don't know. I can't remember. Chili's or something. We're sitting there having dinner and nothing fancy or anything, but she was real down in the dump, long face. I said, dear, what's the issue? What happened? And she goes, I got my second rejection letter today. I said, oh, two people don't like you or what you did. Get ready. You better toughen that skin up a little bit, because it's coming.
Oh, God. I think the worst rejection I ever got, a record company in New York years ago sent my demo and package back to me, my photos, the whole thing.
They sent it back.
They sent it back, and it and in the envelope, it just said a simple note that said, Scott, not for us. It was the, I would have much rather like dreamed of, it's at least on somebody's desk, but they didn't, you know, don't send it back to me and say, not for us. That was a rough one. Yeah.
Well, when you're a kid,
you got thick skin, so.
When you're young, because the thing is, you start spending money you don't have in your mind, and you start thinking, maybe I will get the bigger infinity pool when I'm living on that Malibu beach there, cliff.
Speaking my language.
Yeah, it's easy to do. Yeah, don't spend the money till the check's cashed, folks. That's a hard one to learn. And especially in a gig like acting, because as I understand it, you could be doing a whole bunch of work, and then nothing for a minute, then a whole bunch of work. You know what I mean? You got to, especially you got a family and stuff. Kids still need braces. Washers need to be washing. It never ends. Musician friends of mine sometimes have it a little bit, because they can always gig. You know what I mean? You can always gig, usually.
Yeah.
But you're not, I don't think you're making the money that you're making. And I don't think a lot of working actors are making Robert Downey Jr. money, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's, you'd be surprised, some of these people that, you know, the very well-known people that are in the movies that you're watching, they're not making the bank that you expect, but they're doing what they love, and
they got to do it.
It's the creative thing.
They got to do it. It's it's a fascinating business. I'm glad I'm not in that business. I don't think I can handle the stress of it. Everybody from the actors to the crew people, everybody I know that's in that business is stressed about something a lot of the time.
I think of myself as a drummer who writes songs. I'm a songwriter. I'm a drummer. But also on the side, I do this acting, and I love it. Music is the number one passion, but acting is fun. As you get more absorbed in it, it's, you see the parallels between being a front man, a singer of a band, and acting.
Leading man, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of parallel.
And there needs to be. There needs to be. I came close, or not, I don't even want to say close. This is one of my last couple last years, I lived in California, and I got approached. I was doing a lot of artwork, painting work for the Bravo Channel or network.
Works phenomenal, yeah.
Yeah, and they were great. They'd say, hey, we need to glam up a place or whatever. We're doing this reality show, whatever. And yeah. I was on a bunch of their shows. It was a Playboy one I have a bunch of paintings of, and a whole bunch of these shows like that. And that was great. Checks always cleared, and they came quickly. You know what I mean? And I was happy. But I did, they were doing one of these competition shows, and you've seen them, where, especially in music, the biggest place you see them. And they said, we're going to do one where we follow a group of 10 painters, and these are all supposed to be reality-based folks. Let me tell you something. All this is already worked out ahead of time. I'm not trying to ruin anything for anybody.
It's all pre-written, yeah.
They approached me, and this was their pitch. They're like, we think you would be we need the villain on the show, the kind of jerk painter that is good, and people just hate this person because they're
too nice a guy to be the villain.
They thought I had to look for it. And so they, but part of the reason I didn't do it, and it was a nice check, but one of the reasons I didn't do it was you had to sign all these clauses and contracts and stuff. And they're like, you can't release any new work for like the next 9 months.
Oh, wow.
We can't have you going out and getting your big break or whatever before
yeah.
you appear on the show or what.
Telling you temporarily. Yeah.
That's yeah. You, yeah. And I'm like, I can't gamble that. Spoiler alert, I didn't get my big break during that period, so I would have been fine doing it, but I didn't know that then. And that's fine. That's fine. I didn't lose any friends over it or anything.
Sure.
But I'll tell you, I knew a kid that was on, or a guy, I should say, that was on one of these shows, different network, different show. If you can figure it out, folks, I'll say this. I don't want to say his name or whatever, because I don't want to embarrass him. It was a show that was set in a South American country, and one of the people on the team was a double agent and was in the know the whole time and everything, and the other people had to figure out who it was. Anyway, did the show. That was great. He had his 15 minutes. I saw him about a year and a half later in a bar. And he was still riding that wave. He's talking to a couple girls, and I was on this show and everything, and blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, that was a year and a half. You can't.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself about that Bravo gig, and I'm like, I'm so glad I'm not that guy. I didn't get turned into that guy. And here I am talking about it on a podcast, though, so I'm not too far off. But no, but Scotty's got that double, because he's got it in the music business, and he's got it in the television and movie business, film business too.
Yeah, I fell into that. As I said, this director that I work with does all my music videos in Denver. He's very involved in the film community. So slowly, he got me into an agency, and I started doing commercials and so forth, and was spending years doing little bit parts for him, little side parts. Some of it was even like acting reels for other actors, where he would bring me in and, hey, you're going to play a doctor, and this guy's out of Los Angeles and he's pitching a new demo tape for a series. And so I was really spending a lot of time doing these things. Unbeknownst to me, I was just really polishing my chops on becoming it, and was really getting into all different facets of acting and different scenes. And pretty soon he called me and said, I have this lead role for you in a Christmas movie, and it's filming in Pagosa Springs. So I'm in a movie. I'm a lead in a movie called Christmas Cards that just got announced that it got picked up by Apple TV. So
nice. Congratulations, man.
Thank you very much. So it's available now for pre-order at Apple TV, and it comes out on October 15th. So
nice. I'll get the link for the pre-order, and folks, we'll have it in the description below.
There you go. There are no refunds.
That's fine. The great thing about holiday stuff, and every year I do a couple holiday paintings. We put them on Christmas cards and all that kind of stuff every year. I'm actually a week and a half behind on releasing this year's because of the wife and everything, but it'll get done. Don't worry, folks. I'm working on them every day. But the great thing about, and I tell musicians this, I say, okay, I'm not in a band. I'm not in the music business. I'm just have been around it a lot. It seems to me it behooves you to make a final countdown, something that can be played in every sporting event anywhere and played repeatedly. You'll get residual checks from that. That's a good plan.
There you go.
Christmas songs, same thing.
Yeah.
Get played every year. There's not enough of them.
Yeah.
Every person I've ever known that works in retail said, yeah, I can tell you the top 35 Christmas songs because I listened to them for 2 months straight at work. Always use new holiday music. And I think Christmas films, it's the same thing. They're going to get, that work you did will get played every year for who knows how long, forever. So,
let's hope so. Yeah, it's these stories are not going to change the world, but it's a rom-com. I play a baker. My name is Jack the Baker, and that is a romance ensues between somebody, a girl there in the town, and the baker. Again, it's not going to change the world, but it's a nice story. And
but you know what? And any guy will tell you, I'm no different. I finally got my wife to watch John Wick. Had to lie to her. She goes, doesn't a dog get killed in that movie? I can't watch if that happened. Yeah. Like, no, that's the other movie you're thinking of. You'll right. like this. Just trust me. Yeah. Keanu Reeves looks sharp in a black suit. You'll love it. And yeah, she gave me the evil eye when the dog thing happened. But at the end, she's like, yeah, I really enjoyed that. That was great.
There you go.
I know in the commerce of relationships, that will cost me 3 or 4 rom-coms. That's just how that goes. Maybe an episode of Love Island I'm going to have to sit through.
You're going to have to, yeah, right.
But I got to watch John Wick for that 9,000th time again that night. So it's just nothing wrong with rom-coms. Nothing wrong with Christmas. My father-in-law watches Christmas. I think Halloween's his start-off point. And if you go to their house, nobody will be in the living room. The TV's on, Christmas movie's on. I'm like... Yeah. Oh, this is where the one with the city gal that comes to visit and falls in love with the guy and decides to move back to the little town.
The dude that owns the Christmas tree farm and
whatever. That's how it, and there's nothing wrong with that. Pleases the people, you know.
Absolutely. What
I mean?
What was so funny was we started filming this back in February of 2024.
Okay.
And it was just amazing. And we were in the town of Pagosa Springs, Colorado, mountain town, beautiful, picturesque town. But literally between takes, there were women, I would call them soccer moms, maybe, that were following around the production. And,
that's exciting stuff.
Wanted their picture taken with you and wanted to know what character you played and wanted to know how the romance ensues and how it's going to brew. And I thought Christmas was 2 months ago. You guys are... on a set of a Christmas movie, they're into it, man. Some of them gave me some wine too, which was good between takes. They were very friendly. So
we live in this little sleepy beach town up from Fort Lauderdale. It's on the coast here.
It's Deerfield Beach, right?
Yeah. And it's nice. It's nice. Where we live is pretty nice. I've lived in much worse, but it ain't Detroit in the 80s. It's, you don't see any cars on fire ever, which, knock on wood, it's a good thing. But they filmed a couple years ago. This was a few years ago. They filmed when they were making all those movies from the old TV shows, they filmed, I think it was the Baywatch movie or whatever, but it had The Rock and everybody in it.
Yeah.
And they filmed part of it here at the beach here. And man, the entire town came down there. There were so many people, the director had to get on a bullhorn or some, I don't know if it was the director. It was probably somebody, part of the crew, and say, folks, we need you to go back a block because we can't have this many people. Yeah. It changes the movie. This isn't a disaster movie. It's a, and you got to get out of the camera angle here. And we'd appreciate it if everybody did. The Rock's going to come out, meet everybody here in a little bit, if you can do this for us. But it was pretty exciting. I think Danny and I were the only people because I knew from people like yourself not to go down there and get in the middle of things. You know what I mean? Yeah. And hold, I don't want to hold up. People getting, charging by the, getting paid by the hour down there. I can't do that.
My character was a baker, and we took over this bakery, the main bakery in Pagosa Springs, and we rented it out. But in the middle of filming between takes, occasionally a customer would come in thinking that the bakery is still open and so forth. And I'm behind the counter. So suddenly I found myself providing pastries. I'm ringing them up. I got to know I really have a future as a baker. If
that's right,
true, I could go back to that bakery. I know my way around the different croissants and
you're going to work. The wife's like, hey, could you bring home a dozen? Yeah. Come on. You're there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, that's funny. We got to play some music, man. We got to play some music. Hey, first off, I just remembered, because I should have said this at the beginning. The whole reason Scott's back on again is he works with a fantastic PR company and record company. They do so many things. I'm sure I'm leaving something out. But we know each other through a really cool cat named Michael Stover over at MTS. We have a link, everybody. If you, whatever you're doing, if you need some help getting the word out about it, why, they're good people to have on your in your corner. I pick up his dry cleaning, wash his car, whatever you got to do to make that happen. Now, I think it involves writing a check, but most good things do, folks. That's the way of the world. You get what you pay for, and they're real good at what they do. So, yeah, get in touch with them. Let's play some music. Let's play some music. I have the track listing here. We got to start off with Glitterati. That's a cool word.
Absolutely.
Should have thought of that for a painting. That guy, the gears are turning. Anyway, I didn't, folks. Scott did. Here is our gyro. This is Glitterati. Check this out.
Shades at the paparazzi. I throw my name all around this town like a star-shaped boomerang. No one can resist when your name's on the D-list. I'm on the silver screen. Up on the silver screen in the spotlight. Call me king in a land of big pretenders. So come aboard and step inside my magical red carpet ride. Silver screen, I'm on the silver screen. Up on the silver screen. In the
all night.
night.
Hey folks, that was Glitterati. What a track. What a track. Now, these tracks we're playing tonight, Scott, these are all available, right? People can get these on streaming and whatnot?
Actually, the record comes out on October 3rd.
So it will be available.
It will be available, but you can already pre-save everything. So if you go to Spotify or iTunes, all of the tracks are available. Apple Music as well. Yeah. Just go into your favorite app, look up Glitterati by Argyro, Argyro, and I hope you dig it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know you've got a new video that's dropping this Friday, I believe.
Yep.
And folks, just for those who don't know me, I'm Jamie, and I like to post things on social media and tag people and stuff in it. So when that drops, get ready, folks, because I'm going to be posting it everywhere. Yeah, and that's the cool thing. Here's the secret, folks. When you find a band you like or an indie movie or whatever, a single, doesn't matter, chances are everybody you're friends with, the whole reason you're friends with them is common interests. All the stuff you're into, your friends are going to be into as well. That's why you're friends. So if you want to be the cool person, be the person that introduces your friend group to that cool band you just discovered and everything. Then you're the party star from then on out. You got the inside track. You know what's happening. That's always a good thing.
Absolutely.
We used to have record stores when I was a kid, and there was always some older kid working there who knew way too much about bands I had never heard of. But boy, was it cool when he would hit me to something, and then I would tell all my friends, and they're like, Jamie just knows all this cool stuff.
You know, something new, without a doubt.
And yeah, it's a good feeling. Another thing I do every year, we're talking about Christmas stuff. I'm always at a loss. I don't want to go to the dollar store and buy somebody a bunch of stuff for the Christmas stocking. Anybody can do that. It's very pedestrian, in my opinion. Take $20. Go over to one of these streaming sites or whatnot. You got their email or whatever. Buy them a few tracks, print it on a different piece of paper, put it in a little Christmas envelope. You get all those when you buy wrapping paper or whatever. Put those in their stock. Here, I bought you a couple tracks.
Nothing says season's greetings.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. A good name. I wish I would have thought of it.
There you go.
It's a fantastic name. The next one we're going to play, folks, is called, here's another Jamie favorite. How could it not be? Cool Shades, folks. Cool Shades. Argyro. Check this out.
Walking on water, walking.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back, Cool Shades. That's a cool track. Love it. Let me ask you something. Like, when I hear Cool Shades, and I heard these in advance, folks, that's how cool I am, because I get the press kit. I've been listening to these all week here in the studio.
Love it.
These are in a lot of painting work that's gotten done this week. But no, I hear it, and when people see one of my paintings, they think, Jamie rolled out of bed this morning and knocked that out, because they're seeing the end result.
Yep.
And they're like, that must have been an easy one. Sometimes they are. A lot of times they are not. What nobody sees is me. The biggest thing that's ever said in my studio, expletive, I can fix it. I can fix it. Let me let this dry and I can fix it.
Yep.
The dog hears that. She goes in the kitchen under the table, and my wife turns on her heel and walks away because I'm into the gunfight. I hear Cool Shades. It's perfect. It's polished. It
Thank you.
Obviously started out. That was an easy one. You know what I mean?
Yep.
My point is, we can't tell the audience, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. A magician never has to tell their tricks, but I got to know, or I'm curious to know, I should say. Now, was that an easy one or was that a hard one?
That was an easier one. It actually, just as I explained, I was on a hike and thought I was wearing shades and I got this melody in my head and I started singing about Cool Shades. So I sung it into my phone and just like the melody. I like it's got a real beachy, just a real vibe. The guy who mixed it, Jesse O'Brien, that's the first track he mixed because he was like, this just has such a great atmosphere. And he just went for it. So it's got that kind of AM radio guitar part to it.
Yeah.
So definitely has a vibe. When the video comes out, I think you'll like it. It's me on a beach playing an acoustic guitar and a beautiful woman. You need a beautiful
nice.
Woman in a song like that.
Oh, yeah. Help sell the deal.
So, but just like the vibe to it, it was just very, it's a driving drum beat, but it's a very mellow, beachy tune.
That works.
Melodic.
That works. I like, that's what I call a convertible track, where if you got a good convertible.
Yeah.
My first car when I moved to Southern California was a Jaguar XJ12 convertible.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, it was a custom car I got a good deal on. I'd never seen a Jaguar convertible before, and I had one. And suddenly I didn't feel like Robert McCall from the Equalizer old show driving his Jag. I felt more, I don't know, movie producer maybe or something. It was pretty nice.
Right.
Cruising down the La Jolla Beach wasn't bad. But that's a convertible track. That's something you play in the car when you're just, life is good. You know what I mean? And folks, if you don't know this, if you're out there, you're a young buck or doe, that doesn't always happen. Life tends to be a series of peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
That's a peak track. That's the one you play, or maybe in the valley to motivate you to get to the peak. You know what I mean? I don't know. Whatever it takes.
Good. I had a critic that reviewed it and really liked it, but said, at first I just thought this is either the best vacation I ever took or the worst postcard I ever sent. But then she came around and said, man, by the end of it, I wanted to be on that beach. I wanted to be part of it. So I sucked her right into that. So
absolutely.
I think I
won. Toes in the sand, baby. Toes in the sand.
Right on.
And that's good art. It takes you someplace. It's, you don't hear that every time. I'm not putting anybody down. I'm not.
Yeah.
What does my wife say? All the kids say. I'm not throwing shade at anybody.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, get to a point where you can recognize what's good. It's
on. Sometimes you got to just ride the wave all the way into the shore. You
know? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's crazy. I love it. I love it. Next track we're going to play. Oh, man, we sat in BS for so long and now we're playing nothing but tracks quickly. But sorry, folks. That's just how it went. Why? This one's called Lifeline. Our gyro, Lifeline. And see, I thought I was going to get through the whole show without messing it up.
A lot of vowels. You're doing great.
Wait, should have had a gyro. Got the Greek feel before we did the show. Anyway, folks, this is Lifeline. Check this out. Thank you.
that's just beyond a dream. I drift away, floating out on a frequency, following signs to infinity.
Lifeline, our gyro, another great track. Was this another hiking track?
Thank you. This has been one that I've been sitting on for, it's taken a lot of different forms and adaptations. So it's been the instrumental, which I always thought was so powerful and great, but I could never find that ideal to it and melody to it. I'm not sure where it originated, but it's been sitting in my studio for probably 3 years until finally... This was one where I got up at 3 a.m. and my wife was like, where the hell are you going? I went into my studio and sat at a piano, and because the melody came into my head. I thought it was a very powerful melody, but also a nice message. It's another theme about togetherness and love and connectivity and all of the things that we've lost as a society. I think there's a lyric in there that everybody's tongue is shaped like a knife. And getting back to connection, and we're all streams floating to the same place. Some nice messaging in there, I think, and probably good messaging for where we are today with disconnection, and everybody Absolutely. Seems to be black and white and hate each other.
Yeah, and life's too short for that. Don't waste what time you got. Jeez Louise. I sure did show that guy on Facebook that time. That's my last thought. Don't have that be your last thought. No,
it's I watch that quite a bit on social media. I'll see people that have gone from the time they were in kindergarten, they've been friends, and suddenly they're in this present day disconnecting from each other, unfriending each other because they have differing political opinions or what have you. And it's like, when to this point?
Yeah. And the thing is, it's so silly. You know, I'm not saying anybody's morals or ethics or I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is, I am so glad that I do not have the job to convince everybody else that I'm right. It doesn't matter. I don't care if they think that or not.
Absolutely.
I know where my viewpoint is. That's all that matters. I don't need to reinforce it. I'm that strong in it. I don't have that weakness in myself. You know? Right. And folks, don't get that twisted. It drives my wife crazy because I'm that guy that will say, oh, I was totally wrong about that. I'm glad I found out more about something. You know what I mean?
It's just a time where we need conversation and everything is black and white and we need the gray of coming together, having those conversations and seeing each other's perspectives. You're never going to completely agree with somebody or disagree, but
it's weird. Growing up, I never had that kind of experience with people. I never saw that.
Yeah.
People would disagree about stuff, but like you said, nobody was burning buildings down over it or anything. It was
geez,
Louise, they would burn cars in Detroit. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I was just telling somebody was asking me, they're like, in the 80s in Detroit, what was it really that? And let me put it this way. When I grew up, there were no gangs in Detroit. No gangs. They're like, what do you mean? There was a city. There's no gang. I'm like, a gang is a group of individuals that will act together, usually for a criminal enterprise of some sort. But they all come together. They're all a team.
Yeah.
Where I grew up in Detroit, it was maybe a gang of two. They could not get along enough to form a gang. It was that rough. And yeah, it's like that Batman movie, that one with Heath Ledger as the Joker at the beginning. They're robbing that bank and they just keep killing each other along the dominoes along the way. That was Detroit in the 80s. Like that. You didn't want to be standing next. You didn't want to be depositing a check that day when those boys showed up. No. Yeah. It's crazy. But it was a different world. It was. I admit it. Nobody had anxiety attacks. And if you had an anxiety attack, it was well warranted. That's all I'm saying. The guy's head just got cut off. I got to get the hell out of here. He was bad. But anyway, how'd we go from talking about surfs and lifelines to that? I don't know. I'm telling you. It's a good track. It's great. And I imagine you run this stuff by your wife as well. And she probably, if she's mine, gives you the thumbs up or the thumbs down. That's a great track, though. I like that's a thumbs up track. At least I imagine her doing that. Oh, she'll let you know. We'll see you next time, everybody.
Sorry for the abrupt ending to the show. We had some audio and video corruption. However, Jamie and Scott were pretty much at the end of the show anyway. We will see you next time, everybody.
Been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited.
Hola, Oli, Pop Rocks Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hey, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.